It's a wonderful thing to be able to come to you on a Sunday morning and to bring you the sermon of today. What I thought that I'd like to do is I'd like to continue to talk a little bit about abortion, because I didn't get a chance to finish it yesterday, as well as I think I need to give further explanation as to why this is such a popular thing for many people to do today. One of the things that it does is it provides a sense of comfort and freedom, because it is comforting to know that, you know, how much money you have to pay to give a child a healthy life in this country. It is comforting to know that you don't have to do that. And, you know, being free from the care of all these worlds. But I want to take you into what the Bible communicates to us as we look at this subject matter further, as we carry it a step further than we did yesterday. And I think that that's very important. Some would say that a woman has the right to do whatever she wants to do with her own body. That's a good and classical argument that we hear from all the time. But if we're believers, if we're people that contend to say that they believe in God, remember the Bible is a rule book for the believer that says that he believes in God. The Bible is not a rule book for a heathen. In other words, a person that does not adhere to the word of God, we are not expected to keep the words of the Bible. But this is what it says. God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, he says, "Know you not that you are God's temple," meaning that your body doesn't belong to you, ladies. It belongs to God. And a temple is a place where something holy is supposed to be going on. And that's why Paul uses that kind of language. And that the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, therefore, since your body is very precious too, and God's Spirit lives in your body, he goes on in verse 17 and says, "If any man," and that means any man or woman, "destroys the temple of God," in other words, that body, "God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy," or sacred, "and you are that temple." Now, that was a rendering from the NIV. I'll read it from another translation. It says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are." I like this. Look at verse 18. "For those of you that think that you have your body and you can do whatever you want to do to it," he says, "let no man," or woman in that case, "deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless." And so God says to anyone that has this idea, "I have a right to do whatever I'd like to do with my own body," God responds back. "Nevertheless, the fruit of the womb that the woman carries is her own body. Her body nourishes it, but it is a separate life. God knows the nature of the infant and even his or her future." Now, this is a very interesting point, because when God knows the nature of the infant, God knows what that infant is going to be. And, you know, this makes me think about homosexuality and lesbianism, because that is on the forefront of the Christian agenda. And we have a tendency to say, well, you know, we know that no one was not born that way. God knows that person. You don't know that person. I don't know that person. All I know is my person. All I know is what I'm attracted to, what I'm driven to, what you're driven to. Now, God knows that of the person also. God has given us instructions on how we are to live in this body. He has told us in the scriptures how we are to live, regardless of how he knows we are, regardless of what we're attracted to, regardless of the intensity of that attraction. God knows it. He knows it. He's formed everything about us. Now, she, the woman, may have the authority from men to kill or to separate that life without being judged. But know this, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. In other words, that particular script says there's an appointment day coming when each of us are going to die, and each of us will be judged for what we did. Now, you may say, but I don't believe that. God would say, I'm not concerned about what you believe necessarily. God would say to me, Pastor John, I'm not concerned about, I go through my longings, my periods of longings where I long for someone to hold me. I long for love. I long for transparency. And if it doesn't happen, I have a way sometime to try to make things happen like that. I better make sure that while I'm longing and trying to make things happen, that I better keep it tied up with what God would be pleased with. You know, the difficulty with people today is that you cannot find people that's going to be real with themselves. And I find God is amazing, because God is even going to put you in contact with people like yourself that loves God and wants to go along with the things that God has ordained in his life. And those are the individuals that God has placed you next to, okay, to help you communicate with those longings, the people that you're going to appreciate. I went to a little birthday party of my neighbor that I did his eulogy a few months ago. Well, his wife gave a birthday party, and of course they invited me. And I went to the party, and one of the members of my congregation that I love dearly lives in the area, and he came by, and he was welcome, and we were sitting there talking, and people were looking at us. Who are these men talking, looking like they're loving each other? We were Christian men loving each other. No shame. God provided an answer for my longing with a brother that could be there with me. Okay, why wouldn't he provide it? I was talking with the sisters, PJ. Mm-hmm. A couple were just staring at me. But I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for that. Here is the proof that the fruit of the woman's womb is not her own body. When you look at the genetic code of a woman's body, it is the same whether it is an organ inside of her or outside, such as an eye. However, the fruit of the womb is a different genetic code than that of the mother. It is a separate life. Now, if she aborts it, that is, this separate life, she is not killing her own body, but it is killing a totally separate and genetically different life. Do you get it? She is killing, or he is, if you look at it that way, or they are, if you want to, they are killing a human being that has been ordained of God with a life and for a future of his or her own. You know, whenever you look at some of the scenes of war taking place in Afghanistan and Syria and all over the world, where people are dying, being blown up, and civil war, and people are crying, and the children are being blown up. That's a separate entity. That's why many of our soldiers that go off to war and come back, and they've been in combat, and they've seen through the arsenal that they fire that they were representative of the cause of death for many people. Some of these soldiers go through getting counseling and therapy for the rest of their lives. They can't deal with it. They know that they took a life. Especially in the Judeo-Christian culture, we've been taught that life, well, not now, with the rapping music and stuff like that, but we've been taught that life was a precious, precious commodity. Oh, friends, I know what I'm talking about. But consider this. Two walked into an abortion clinic, but both die. The one dies physically, and the other is dead spiritually. That's the essence of it, ladies. Two human beings go in that abortion clinic. One dies physically, and the other one dies spiritually. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm talking about what happens, because when the physical body dies, that's a human life that's gone. And I want the ladies to know that when you go in there and you do that, then spiritually, you're dead. And going to church and jumping up and down and shouting and screaming and all that is not going to make that situation right. That is something else worth considering here. It has also been reported that many women, once they have had an abortion afterwards, suffer both physically and emotionally. And at some later time in life, possibly, if that same woman wants a baby after she is married, she may have complications of not being able to have another baby because of going in, having her insides torn out like that. You have to think about that in the future. You're not going to remain the way you were when you were 19 and 20. When you meet Jethro further down the road and Jethro says that he wants, you know, because he doesn't know that you had an abortion. He doesn't know that that's what happened. So he's thinking, oh, well, you know, we can have children. No, you didn't tell him the way that was. As written in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, the six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. Hands that have shed innocent blood. Yeah, we'll stop right there. Yes, the mother that aborts that child. Yes, the father that agrees to have that child aborted. Yes, the abortion clinic and the person that does it. That child, which is from God, and the mother and the father and the abortion people that do it will be judged at the judgment. But so that everybody involved in this so-called legalized murder, because that's what it is. Now, I know you don't like that kind of lingo. Oh, Pastor John, you're scaring me. No, I'm not scaring you. I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to stop it. Genocide is being performed every day in this nation, all over. It is written in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1, woe unto them that decree righteous decrees are made unjust laws. That's what he's talking about. And that right grievous, which they have prescribed, are those who issue oppressive decrees. That's what that means. You see, God's word gives a severe warning to all who would try to go against God's laws. They may not believe in God, but the very God that they do not believe in will indeed judge them. And that is the reality of what is going to happen. Indeed, the very words that they use will judge them. It is written in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. See, I know what I'm talking about. I know who I am. That's one thing I keep telling people. I know exactly who I am. For years in my walk with God, I have tried to live, in many cases, in many areas of my life, I've tried to live other people's lives. I cannot live other people's lives. I can only live my life as I obey God in this life. You see what I'm talking about? Some of you say, well, Pastor John, you're not a woman. If you got pregnant, let's say that the guy, you thought he was going to be a good daddy, and he told me right after he made love to me that he was going to abandon me, that he couldn't stand having children and taking care of them. So I want to have the baby aborted because I knew I couldn't afford it. My mama told me not to bring no bastard child home, and I'm feeling all bad. Girl, be quiet and go to full term. Put that baby up. Put that baby up for adoption if you ain't got the guts enough and the strength to keep it. Watch that baby in time. Watch what God does with that baby. I was speaking with a man yesterday. I won't give his name, but he's a chef. He's a chef and a darn good one. And he's done something very powerful. Not a church man, but a chef. We've grown to become very good friends. He knows the great chefs of the world. I was in his sleeping quarters where he lives, and he was showing me some books and some chefs from all over the world. Chefs like Wolfgang Puck, that's what I'm talking about. This man has cooked all over the world. And I just want to tell you that he is a brilliant man. And oh, I don't know who this is calling me, but I will let the phone, I will let them call, I don't know. But anyhow, the reason that I brought this man, this man's name up is for the simple reason that he was telling me about his life and the life of his very close friend, who is also a very close friend of mine, who passed away. And as he was telling me about the lives, no one would think that this man would be a chef on the caliber that he is. And if you know anything about those television shows, you know, the Food Warriors and the King Chef and the Magic Chef and all, well, he cooks on that level. He does it. And at the end of the conversation before I left, I said, you know what? I am anxiously anticipating because I've never had an opportunity to eat any of his food. I said, I've never had an opportunity, but I would love to have you cook a meal for me. And just to give you an idea of how he cooks on a $7,000 stove. He's a real chef. I mean, boom, like that. Now, what if his mother had aborted him? He's a black man, too. What if his mother had aborted him? What if she had scraped him out? I would have never had that conversation with him last evening. God's word and medical science have both proven that the fruit of the womb is a totally separate person from the mother. As already mentioned, Psalms 127:3, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Therefore, it is a part of God's covenant of life. And listen to me, listen to PJ. Consider carefully what God's word has said. It is written in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Be not wise in your own eyes. Listen to me, ladies. Listen to me. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to your bones. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. It says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. See, you got to fear God. Don't be fearing Pastor John, because he got his hands full enough when he stands before the mighty judgment seat of Christ. Listen, even his enemies will be at peace with him. When you fear God, look at Proverbs 16:17. The highway of the righteous is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. See, these scriptures check me too, people. They just don't check you. They check me. Every time I read a scripture like this, it makes me think about any and everything. I'm telling you, I stopped by to see a friend of mine last night. I love this brother. Always love this brother. We've been very, very close. Very close. As brothers that love God. Unashamed love. And I stopped by and see him, and I said, you know what? Please, let's not mess up what God has started in us. That's the way a believer is. We don't want to mess up that relationship with God. Luke 13 3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Mm-hmm. Those are the words of Jesus. Revelation chapter 3, verses 18 through, well, let me, Revelation 3, 18. It says, counsel thee, anoint thine eyes with eye salve. In other words, clean your face up so you can see it right, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. This is God talking to PJ. Because I'm thinking about, man, I'm thinking about me sometime, my lust, my desires, my attitude. I want to read that again. Revelation 3:18, counsel thee, anoint your eyes, PJ, with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, this is God saying, God loves Pastor John. He says, I rebuke and chasten. You know, I got to share something with you yesterday. Yesterday afternoon, I was with another man that I knew at the old Olivet when I pastored there. I left having breakfast with my grandchildren and was in the area and thought that I'd drive by and say hello. Oh, my God. Discovered that the man believes that he's going blind. And the man began to share with me. I got to share this with you. The man began to share with me how he was going to take most of the money that he has, and he was going to purchase a piece of property, and that it was going to be used in the community of South Central, in the inner city, to proclaim the truth of God's word to anyone that wants to come in. I looked at the man. He was very serious. He began to weep. People, listen to me. The man began to weep. This man was one of the men that was instrumental. That was instrumental in my being removed as the pastor of the Olivet Baptist Church. And I told him, I said, really, that's not necessary. You don't have to do that. And he said, I'm not doing that to try to gain favor with God. He said, do you see what's going on out there? Do you see? I said, yes, I know. I see, brother. I said, but putting all your money, and then he told me, he says, my money, my life means nothing. He says, we've got to get this message out there. They're killing themselves. They're destroying themselves. No one believes in this anymore. And this man is going to spend literally thousands and thousands, thousands of dollars. And he's very ill. And he says that he has a limited amount of time to do it, and he's going to do it. And he said, I'm glad you dropped by because you're still relatively healthy. Will you teach in my facility and show PowerPoint lessons? And I said, you know me, have Bible, we'll travel. Me and this man, when we were young men in the Lord, had those same discussions, and we were dedicated to that. But he listened to the people. Listen to them women all around him, and listening to those weak men. And I told him, I said, man, I've looked in the faces of these people that used to sit under me. As a matter of fact, I want to share something with you people. You go to my website. And there's a series called The Mary Factor, part 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Mary Factor. The sermons are up on my main website, and you can also find that on my YouTube clips. And I want you to look in the faces of some of the people sitting behind me. I used to tell those people in the vet, don't sit in the choir seats behind me, because when we're filming, your face will display what you believe about the text of scripture that I'm quoting. And I want you to pay very close attention as you go through that sermon and look at the conviction that came on those people's faces. That is what a preacher is supposed to do every time he gets up to preach. Lord willing, I'm going to leave those sermons right up on that webpage, and so that you can see that for a long time. You need to pay attention to that sermon. I got it in 20-minute portions, and I want you to listen to the whole sermon. It's, man, you need to listen to some preaching. You need to copy the outline. You need to take some notes, and you need to take advantage of what I'm putting up, because that's the way I preached back in the day. And now, being a retired congregationalist pastor, because I don't preach anymore, I don't have to preach anymore. I tell people, I don't have to preach. I still believe the same thing. You want to see what I'm preaching? Look at that. Yeah, but I want to hear it today. I'm old. I'm getting ready to die, people. Hey. It's the young preacher's job to preach like that. And I'm showing you that. Excuse me, I have a cough. And I'm showing you that because if you don't, I have to get something to break up this congestion in my throat. Because if you don't preach like that, I don't know what your preaching is all about. It can't be called preaching. It's just standing up, running your mouth, acting a fool, wasting my time. If you want to know what preaching is, I used to want to listen to young preachers, but no longer do I desire that, because I'm saying you got to bring some conviction on me. That doesn't mean you got to know about some sin that I've done. You know, it doesn't mean that you're searching out some sin in somebody's life so you can talk about them from the pulpit. No, that's some Baptist hellacious stuff. You need to stop that. Man, the real preacher lets the Holy Spirit use him and guide him as he moves. One of the books that I advise my homiletic students to get is On the Preparation and Delivery of Sermons by John Brodus. You need to get that text, and you need to read it, and you need to study it, and you need to allow God to do something to you young men that want to be preachers and teachers. Because I'm telling you, if you don't talk to people the way they're supposed to be talked to, wait a minute, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man or woman hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." Do you know what the Holy Spirit is saying? When you hear me knocking on the door of your heart, of your emotions, trying to come in, trying to get through to you, trying to penetrate that stiffness, that hardness, that's why I'm using Pastor John to make you angry right now. I'm knocking at your heart's door. You hear my voice speaking through that man, and you will not open the door so that I will come in and sup with you and you with me. That's the way that verse is to be transliterated. If you are listening to me, and if you are contemplating having an abortion, you listen to Pastor John. If you're listening to me and contemplating having an abortion, I am telling you right now, in the name of God Almighty that created the heavens and the earth, in the name of God that made you, that made your mother and father. All right, Daddy may have abandoned you, beautiful dude that he was when he was with your mama. I know what that's like. I used to be young. In the name of all this beautiful, stop it. Don't do that. Don't do it. Now, if you've already done it, don't despair. Don't despair. There's hope. Because all you have to do is just say, "Lord God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know these things that PJ is saying was true. I didn't know. They told me it was just a piece of flesh, a parasite attached to me. No one ever took the time to tell me, God, I'm so sorry. Please, he'll forgive you, baby. He'll forgive you. It's done. Don't hurt yourself. Don't do nothing to yourself. For those of you young men that talked her into doing it, I know you feel guilty. Boy, it's going to be all right. Just go to God and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let God become the savior of your life. Say, God, I love you. God, I believe in you. And you know, it's not understanding everything about the incarnation and about the Immaculate Conception and knowing about a hypostasis and postistasis and the Greek and all that stuff. It's not about, I'm talking about simple, just right up front. God, I'm sorry for what I did. I didn't know. Because he knows whether you're lying. And if you did know, and if you just come into the realization of it now, you have to say, Lord God, I'm sorry that I was stubborn, that I didn't want to listen to what anybody was saying, especially what Pastor John is saying. I was taught to believe that Pastor John was out of his mind. I'd never heard him talking like this. That's because Pastor John had to get freed up himself. Oh, the Lord just spoke to my heart and told me. The Lord just spoke to my heart and told me. And the Lord spoke to my heart and told me to do a webcast on having sex just like that, PJ. Because you know what you want and you know what they want and you need to spell it out to them. Because, PJ, if you do what you want, I will kill you the way I'll kill them. The Lord just spoke to my heart just like that. That's the way the Lord Jesus would speak to you, people. That's how I come up with webcast ideas. They come from the Lord while I'm saying, have you ever read that Bible verse that says that the Lord will answer while you yet calling? Well, he just did. Because I know what it is. I know how it is. I have another website up there and it says, webcast, that is, Run from the Darkness. I need to listen to that one again. You need to listen to that. Running from the darkness, people. Because there's darkness and light. Now, the devil doesn't want you to listen to anything that I've said. Satan, that jive time. See, you have to understand. You have to understand that beast. He knows that dopamine is what keeps your thrill going. See, dopamine, that chemical in your brain that is tantamount in producing the pleasure in human beings. Dopamine is what a kid experiences when they've been waiting an hour and a half in a 98 degree heat to ride a super ride at an amusement park. And he gets on the thing and he's under the canopy in the roller coaster and his heart is beating fast. And as soon as the chain starts pulling the crank, clank, clank, and it starts going up and they all start lifting up their hands and they're shouting and they're smiling and everybody becomes friends on that coaster ride. You don't even know the people sitting in front of you and in back. You turn around looking at their smiling faces. They looking at yours and they screaming and you screaming. And you sitting next to your girl and you're holding her and she's holding on to you. And you saying, now keep your eyes open. And man, everybody's so happy. And that thing is climbing up to the top of the thing, right? You feel that adrenaline rush. That's dopamine. That's what that is. That adrenaline rush going on like that. And man, as you get to the top of that thing and it's time to go down, the rush that you feel when that thing swoops down and everybody that is what dopamine produces, pleasure. And at the end of the ride, everybody jumps off that thing. The other people getting ready to load the coaches are looking at their faces, aren't they? What are they doing? They're saying, "Ooh, I want that. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want that." Oh, I want that. You get it? God did not intend for us to live a life of dopamine adrenaline rushes 24/7. As a Bible verse, it escapes me where it is, but it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." God says, slow down your dopamine rush, because God says, be still. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Religion is a strange thing. I just saw a woman dressed in a full white dress from her neck down to her feet, and she has on a red wrap around her head. She must be an African or something, not Jamaican or something, I don't know. But anyhow, Lord bless us on a Sunday morning. Thank you for listening to the webcast. It's a short one today. It's my Sunday morning sermon thing for you. I was invited to go and worship at another church today, and I'm going to decline. I am going to take care of a few more things here, and I'm going to settle around home and take care of some stuff. I want to thank many of you for the prayers that has been solicited my way. Your prayers are working. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to leave and go and get me a nice Sunday morning breakfast this morning. And I would love to hear from many of you about these messages and these webcasts that I've been putting out for you. I hope that they have been challenging to your hearts, souls, and minds. God bless you. And whatever you do, my friends, stay into the Word.